You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Catholic News read by Chris Mihalik. Our sources are Catholic News Agency, National Catholic Register, and Denver Catholic. Teaching Teens to Love and Be Loved, how Sally Ivers brings theology of the body to life. For more than two decades, Sally Ivers has been walking alongside young people, helping them discover their God-given dignity and purpose. What began as a leadership club for her own daughter eventually led her into Teaching Teen Star, a program based on St. John Paul II's theology of the body at St. Mary's Parish in Littleton. I had been working with youth for so long that when the parish wanted to bring in Teen Star in 2017, they asked me to take the training, Ivers said. Since then, I've been teaching it to 7th and 8th graders, as well as homeschool communities and even non-Catholic groups, which is beautiful because when you hear the truth, you know it. They actually really embrace it. Teen Star was founded in the early 1980s by Sister Hannah Klaus, a medical missionary and surgical gynecologist. While working in underserved areas, she encountered women who lacked understanding of their own bodies, leading to poor health outcomes and broken relationships. Out of that need, Teen Star was born. At its heart, the program helps students understand themselves as whole persons, physical, social, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. Every bit of education in Teen Star has to do with a holistic understanding of who you are, Ivers explained. Each of the 5 points of the star represents an aspect of you as a person. You can't take one point out when you're discovering and understanding your purpose in life. Through 12 sessions, students learn everything from fertility, awareness, and brain development to relationships and the meaning of authentic love. Ivers partners closely with parents, sending follow-up materials and encouraging conversations at home. She says she has watched students transform over the course of the program. This past year, Ivers represented the United States at the International Teen Star Congress in Paris, where delegates from 22 countries gathered to share how they are bringing the program into their communities. In some countries, Teen Star is even taught in public schools. Ivers works closely with other Teen Star leaders across the U.S. and says the collaboration with international facilitators is a source of encouragement. Despite cultural pushback, she remains convinced of the program's power. For Ivers, this work is more than education. It's a missions territory. She describes Teen Star as marriage prep in fifth grade, not because students are preparing for the sacrament immediately, but because they are learning the foundation of love, respect, and self-understanding that will carry into adulthood, no matter their vocation. My whole purpose is to help them go off to college without shame, Ivers said, to see the beauty of who they truly are, to know what their life is about, and to live with that understanding as a gift. That's the heart of this program, and it's what keeps me going. For her devotion to service, especially to the youth of her community, Sally Ivers has been recognized as this month's Disciple of the Month. Congratulations, Sally, for being named Archbishop Catholic Appeals Disciple of the Month. Jesus gives us access so others can have access. Worldly success promised fulfillment, but left me restless. Only Jesus gave me freedom and abundant life. It was just a cigarette. What was the big deal? I grabbed it from my friend and lit it. He whipped out another and did the same. The smoke we exhaled danced and twirled in front of the city lights spread out below. We were at a production studio's Christmas party in the Hollywood Hills, surrounded by some of the world's most well-known faces. Part of me felt a connection with my friend as I accepted his offer to share smoke. Another part of me felt captivated by the prospect of being one of the cool kids at a gathering of the coolest kids. But another part of me, a small part I did my best to ignore, felt captive. Captive to the opinions of those around me. Captive to my fear of rejection. Captive to my thirst for success. Captive. Deep down, I knew it wasn't just a cigarette that I held in my fingers. I mean, I didn't even smoke. Deep down, I knew that my yes to this cigarette reflected my yeses to other, more problematic compromises. I knew that I was enslaved to what people thought of me and that I consistently jeopardized myself as a result. This cigarette was far from just a cigarette. It was the dart that hit the bullseye on my existential restlessness. And this body was a microcosm of my life. On paper, I was living the dream, but in reality, I was absolutely torn. I was 1,000 different versions of myself to 1,000 different people, never quite fully myself to anyone. My life was flashy, but it was exhausting. It unfortunately took me years of floundering in the entertainment industry and looking to Hollywood to fulfill the deep longings of my heart until my life hit a tipping point. I fought and clawed until I had to face the daunting reality of life. No level of success would ever be enough. No amount of notoriety would ever be enough. No social circle would ever be enough. Nothing could firmly and sustainably satisfy me. By the grace of God, I eventually made a firm commitment to channel my restless energy into encountering the Lord and growing in the faith that I had always claimed but never quite cherished. It would be no more compromising, no more valuing other things and other people about the Lord, no more placing my worth and identity in other things and other people. I was going to throw my chips all in for Jesus. I dove into prayers, making sure that I spent time in silence every day with the Lord. I dove into the Word and the Catechism. I watched videos and read articles on church teachings that I had wrestled with. I developed a routine of going to confession with regularity, and I dedicated more time to men also chasing a relationship with Jesus. What I experienced in the months and years after that pivotal decision changed the trajectory of my life forever. It didn't happen overnight, but I gradually felt lifted from the various forms of self-consciousness that had bogged me down my entire life. I slowly grew confident in myself because I slowly grew confident in the one to whom I belonged. I steadily felt liberated to say no when I knew I should say no, and yes when I knew I should say yes. My life didn't become perfect, just to be clear, far from it. There were difficulties and sufferings along the way, and there still are. Many difficulties and sufferings, but a slow and subtle transformation happened inside of me, a very real transformation that led me to feel more like myself than ever before. Something curious happened as that transformation unfolded. Little by little, new desires welled up within me, and the need to be a success dried up. A new longing surfaced and occupied my heart's desire to bring as many people to Jesus as possible. I began asking deeper questions to friends and engaging in fruitful spiritual conversations. Jesus came up more naturally in my dialogue. I became more intentional in how I spent time with others. I grew much more patient with loved ones who thought differently. I wanted people to experience what I was experiencing. In his encyclical on the Church's mandate to mission, Redemptoris Missio, Pope St. Paul II wrote, "To the question, why mission? We reply with the Church's faith and experience that true liberation consists in opening oneself to the love of Christ." Translation, we evangelize because we have experienced the freedom Christ offers. Later in that same document, Pope St. Paul II gave another reason for the question, why mission? We know, however, that Jesus came to bring integral salvation, one which embraces the whole person and all mankind, and opens up the wondrous prospect of divine filiation. Translation, we evangelize because we have experienced the wholeness Christ offers. In writing these monthly columns for the past year, I've been trying to provide little nuggets of inspiration for the beautiful people of my archdiocese to embrace lives on mission, to move the needle ever so slightly on the missional activity within our families, parishes, and neighborhoods. But the humbling truth is that these columns mean nothing unless someone has first drunk deeply from the freedom and wholeness of Christ and experienced true transformation in their life. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life, and I have it abundantly." The Greek word for abundantly is pherison, and it could be translated as excess or beyond what is necessary, which begs the question, Jesus came to give us an excess of life? What's that all about? Jesus came to give us an excess in life so that excess can be given to others, so that others can experience freedom and wholeness in their lives and become vessels of freedom for others. He gives us excess so others can have access. Like a chocolate fondue fountain, Jesus came to fill us up so we can overflow to others, and then they can overflow to others, and so on. In Luke 6:45, Jesus says, "The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." Evangelization happens when someone receives Christ into their life, and the abundance of that encounter then bursts forth to those around them. The more I dive into evangelical strategies and missional tactics, the more I'm convinced of this simple truth. Encountering the freedom and wholeness of Christ is the only way significant fruitful evangelization happens. And so I beg you, beautiful friends of the Archdiocese of Denver, run to Jesus, anchor the full weight of your identity in Him, tether your worth to His infinite glory, experience the liberation and fullness He wants to give you. Receive the excess of life that is possible only through Him, and then pass it on. Faith, fellowship, and history come alive at Mount Olivet's upcoming Night at the Cemetery events. Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services of Colorado, CFCS, is once again opening the gates of Mount Olivet Catholic Cemetery after hours for two unique events that combine faith, fellowship, and a living encounter with the history of the Church in Northern Colorado. This year's Night at the Cemetery for middle and high school students will take place on Wednesday, September 17th and September 24th at Mount Olivet in Wheat Ridge. The Brew Night at the Cemetery for adults aged 21 years and above will be held on Friday, September 19th and September 26th. These popular events invite guests to walk the sacred grounds of the cemetery at sunset and meet costumed actors portraying some of the region's most inspiring Catholic figures, bishops, priests, religious sisters, and lay faithful, whose lives helped shape the Church in Colorado, as well as popular saints with ties to Colorado. By sharing the stories of these faithful witnesses, CFCS hopes to deepen participants' appreciation of the communion of saints and to highlight the hope of the resurrection that lies at the heart of Catholic teaching on death and eternal life. Night at the Cemetery offers a family-friendly experience that blends storytelling, history, and prayer. Groups are led by lantern light through the cemetery, stopping at various grave sites to hear first-person accounts from the saints who rest there. The evening ends with refreshments and an opportunity for fellowship. Brew Night at the Cemetery features the same walking tour with historical portrayals, but adds a social gathering with local craft beer afterward, making it an ideal event for adults and parish groups looking for an engaging and meaningful night out. These evenings focus on faith, not fear. The tours invite guests to learn about those who have gone before us, to be inspired by their example, and to remember that the cemetery is ultimately a place of hope because of Christ's victory over death. Mount Olivet Catholic Cemetery, founded in 1892, is one of the most historic and beautiful Catholic cemeteries in the Western United States. It serves as the final resting places for tens of thousands of Catholics, including many who played pivotal roles in the Church's growth in Colorado. walking its tree-lined paths at night offers a different perspective on the sacred space, helping visitors reflect on the reality of eternal life and the call to holiness for every Christian. Space for both events is limited, and they regularly sell out. Guests are encouraged to RSVP early to secure the preferred date. Night at the Cemetery, September 17th and 24th, is open to all ages, while Brew Night at the Cemetery, September 19th and 26th, is reserved for adults 21 and over. Both begin at 7 p.m. at Mount Olivet Catholic Cemetery at 12801 West 44th Avenue, Wheat Ridge. In a culture that often avoids talking about death, Night at the Cemetery and Brew Night at the Cemetery offers a refreshing and ultimately joyful reminder that for Christians, the grave is not the end. As guests hear the stories of those who have gone before them in faith, they are reminded of the promise that unites the living and the dead. We have died with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with them. Romans 6:8. To reserve your space or learn more about these events, visit cfcscolorado.org/events/night-at-the-cemetery or call CFCS at 303-502-9179. Kendrick Castillo, lone fatality at 2019 STEM school shooting, could become a saint. By Francesca Polio Fenton. Kendrick Castillo was 18 years old when he tragically died in a STEM school shooting in Highlands Ranch, Colorado on May 7, 2019. He died, witnesses said, after he jumped up in the line of fire and ran to stop one of the shooters with a couple of other students. He was a lone fatality. Now this young man could become a saint in the Catholic Church. The Diocese of Colorado Springs, the diocese to which the city of Highlands Ranch belongs, announced that a petition to open his cause for canonization has been received. I am very grateful for the time and effort that Father Gregory Bierbaum and Father Patrick DiLoreto of St. Mark Parish in Highlands Ranch have spent gathering evidence and conducting interviews to prepare for the petition to open the cause for the canonization of Kendrick Steele. Although I have just begun to review the information submitted, it seems clear that Kendrick was an exceptional young man, Bishop James Golka of the Diocese of Colorado Springs said in a statement. He added, as we study and discern how to approach this massive undertaking of promoting a canonization cause, I ask all the faithful to keep Kendrick's family in their prayers. I also encourage everyone to privately invoke Kendrick's intercession, praying especially for the youth in our diocese, that they emulate his example of fortitude and generosity. While Castillo had many connections to the Archdiocese of Denver, attending Notre Dame School in Denver, serving as a squire of the Knights of Columbus in Denver's Council, and having his funeral at St. Mary Parish in Littleton, the Church looks to where the individual's life ended to determine which diocese has the right to petition for canonization. Therefore, since Castillo died in Highlands Ranch, which belongs to the Diocese of Colorado Springs, it is that diocese's responsibility to conduct the investigation. Golka and the diocese will now review and examine the evidence collected, and if approved, the petition will be sent to Rome for further consideration. Loretto, the parochial vicar of St. Mark Parish in Highlands Ranch, is one of the individuals involved in gathering evidence for Castillo's cause of canonization. He and the parish's pastor, Bierbaum, both experienced Castillo's story coming up in prayer for months, the Loretto told CNA in an interview. After learning that the issue had been on both of our hearts, we felt this was a prompting by the Holy Spirit to investigate further, he said. After interviewing his parents and reviewing the manner in which he died, we believe there was reason to petition the diocese to open a cause for him. The Loretto explained that the priest believed that Castillo qualified for the category of offering of life in a 2017 motu proprio. Pope Francis declared a new category of Christian life suitable for consideration of beatification called offering of life, in which a person has died prematurely through an offering of their life for love of God and neighbor. Though similar to martyrdom, this definition fits those servants of God who have in some way given up their life prematurely for charity, though the circumstances may fall outside the strict definition of martyrdom, which requires the presence of a persecutor. He, Castillo, courageously threw himself at one of the school shooters without hesitation, allowing other students to follow and subdue the gunmen. This saved the lives of his fellow classmates when in any other circumstance there would surely have been more deaths on that day, De Loreto explained. When discussing Castillo's faith, De Loreto called him a pious young man who cared deeply for his faith and desired to be a witness of the faith for others, especially those who had never encountered our Lord. De Loreto also shared that Castillo served at Mass and at funerals, actively volunteered at his parish, and attended the funerals of individuals that he didn't even know, just to pray for the deceased and his or her family. The canonization process is a lengthy one with many steps. A large part of this process is determining if the individual has miracles attributed to his or her intercession. The Church requires one verified miracle for beatification, after which the individual is referred to as a blessed. After this, another verified miracle is needed for canonization, at which point the person becomes a saint. Father Mike Schmitz to launch new podcasts on Corporal Works of Mercy by Francisca Polio Fenton. Popular podcasting priest Father Mike Schmitz, best known for his Bible in the Air podcast, is back at it, planning a new podcast titled Called. Inspired by the scripture verse Matthew 25:40, the podcast will be made up of episodes featuring conversations with individuals who have answered God's call to serve others, from teachers and entrepreneurs to parents and community leaders. This podcast aims to inspire the faithful to put their faith into action. The Catholic Initiative, a nonprofit organization dedicated to renewing the Church and serving those most in need, has partnered with Ascension to create the podcast. An official release date has not yet been announced. This Called podcast is giving flesh to the fact that every one of us is called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, Mitch said in a video released September 3rd announcing the new podcast. The priest began the video by retelling the parable told by Jesus in Matthew 25. In this parable, Jesus welcomes into the heavenly kingdom those who fed him when he was hungry, gave him something to drink when he was thirsty, and clothed him when he was naked. However, for others who did not do these things, they are told to depart from him. Schmitz called this parable one of the most convincing. Every time I read through it, every time I hear it proclaimed, every time I even think of it, I think, well, here it is, Jesus. He's giving us the answer to the test when it comes to the end of our lives, Schmitz explained. He continued, Jesus makes it very, very clear that we're not being judged on what did you believe, although that's very important. But here in this parable, he's not highlighting that part. He's highlighting what did you do? Not just what did you do in your life, but what did you do for the least of my brethren? Schmidt said one example of someone who lived this parable was Pier Giorgio Frassati, who will be declared a saint on September 7th in Rome. He explained that the young man would often return to his home without shoes because he would give them to someone who did not have a pair of shoes. Therefore, the podcast aims to answer the question, how is God calling each of us to live this out in our daily lives? On this podcast called, you'll be able to see, oh, here's how people do it right now. So it takes out some of the mystery and actually gives you and me the strength and the vision and the direction to be able to say, that's how they live that out. I can totally live that out in my life right now, Schmidt said. This podcast isn't just to highlight and spotlight the heroes among us. What it's meant to do is inspire us to give us that new vision of what this could look like in your life and in my life. Thank you for joining us for Catholic News. read by Chris Mihalik.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.